Well, amen. Oof. I've hardly got any voice left. Which is a blessing because it means I'll have to shorten my speech. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John. If you have that with you. Verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple, who is John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked. He looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Amen. God bless his word to us this morning. As I was reading that passage, what people saw and looked at struck me. Verse 5, he bent over and looked. This was John who arrived first. The Greek there is he glanced. He glanced but didn't go in. So he didn't get the full picture. He just had a quick glance. But then it says in verse 6, then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb, and he saw. And the Greek there is that he looked carefully because he'd gone into the tomb. And so he was able to take a better look exactly what was going on. He saw the strips of linen. He saw the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And in other words, we have the words of an eyewitness. Somebody who was there. Because the detail was important. Someone could else take a glance and they couldn't actually tell you what they fully saw. Because they only glanced at it. But when Peter went in, he looked carefully and he looked all around and gathered the facts. It reminded me, strangely enough, the first thought that came into my head was when Mother Jean, my mum, when she was approaching her final time, she was in hospital and there was an oxygen bubble over her head, a little bit like a spaceman. And oxygen was being forced. It had to be forced in for it to go in. But we knew that she was going to go. And it was my turn to go in. And as I went in, you know, I just wanted to hug her and hold her. She was looking at me, that beautiful, serene smile, that face. And we talked, and I said I loved her. But I just wanted to grab hold of her. But this thing was in the way. And we said our goodbyes. And then when we all left, shortly later, she passed. But I can tell you that because I was there. I can give you the detail because I was there. For other people in the hospital, it was just an outside glance into a room, not fully being aware of what was going on. And then there's a third thing, because it says in verse 8, finally the other disciple who reached the tomb first, John, who remained outside, he finally went inside and he saw and believed. And the Greek there for saw was He perceived with intelligence and comprehension, understanding. And this kind of seeing is when someone sees something with full understanding as to what is going on and what is happening. And it's an awful thing when, awful is not the right word, it's a sad thing sometimes when people see what's going on but they don't fully understand what is happening. That's why Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, as they don't know what they're doing." The soldiers who were crucifying him, run-of-the-mill, carrying out the orders, they didn't really know what was going on that cross. And those who had condemned him, they didn't fully know what they were doing either. But Jesus was able to say, forgive them. They were maybe, they'd got false witnesses, they'd got false accusations, all kinds of things happening, bribery, as well as corruption going on in the way that they handled the case of Jesus, ending with the wrong result, i.e. an innocent man being put to death. But it's because of their ignorance. They didn't fully know what was going on. And this morning, I wonder which one of those three things you're at. This morning, are you taking a glance as to what's going on in here? You've been invited, and we're so glad you're here. So glad you're here. But you don't fully understand what all this fuss about Jesus is. And you need your understanding helped. Or is it the second one where actually you've been here for a while now, you've looked in, and you're beginning to understand something is going on here. This Jesus, I'm hearing him, but I'm feeling a little bit more than I'm just hearing him. It could be that he's actually here. But still, you're not quite there. And then there's those who see and they understand exactly what is going on. And what exactly is going on here is two things about Jesus. The first is who he is. That was the crux of his walking on earth. That was the crux that he wanted people to catch without him saying. And so he asked the question to his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And it was Peter who said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." The disciples put it this way, if you read the Gospels, "Him who we have seen, who we have touched, he's walked among us." It took them a long time, nearly 3 years, to fully realize who he was. But once they did, they gave him their lives. He was the Son of Man, his favorite name for himself, which means he was fully man. But he was also called the Son of God, which means he was fully God. God walked among us. And so seeing and understanding that Jesus is very real, the truth that God has come and lived amongst his creation because he wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with you. The second thing that was going on about Jesus, not only who he was, but what he came to do. The thing that's stopping God having that relationship with his creation, with mankind, with us, is our sin. The Bible calls it sin, the wrong things that we do. And because God is holy, he cannot have relationship with that which is unholy. Somehow the unholy needs to be made holy. So what did God do? He came. The only one who could deal with the sin problem. The problem of our hearts. That man cannot solve. We've gone to the moon, we've gone to Saturn, we've gone past Saturn, we've gone out to Pluto, our satellites are going further and further out into space. We've gone into the depths of the sea. That's still a big place to explore. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We've gone from macro into micro. And I don't know what comes smaller than that. Some of you technical ones can, what's nano? Is that even smaller? I don't know. But we're going smaller and smaller. Can you believe it? And yet, we cannot deal with the problem of our heart. We cannot solve sin. We do wrong. We fall short of God's standards. That's what sin means. And so the purpose of Jesus coming, the wonder of Easter, is that God was willing to lay down his life to pay for our sin. My sin, your sin. Not only your past, but your present. And even your future is paid for. But it means nothing unless you come to him. He's made a way. He has made a way, not a man-made way. He has made a way that we can get to know him, that we can be saved from our sin. And that way is, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall, not maybe, shall be saved. Amen. And set free. Amen. From the chains that hold us back. And once we're willing to do that with our heart, wow, everything starts to make sense. I can preach that. My congregation knows that because that's how I came to know Jesus. I was brought up in church, but I didn't know him. And so it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. It was boring. But as soon as I met Jesus, I know why I'm here. I'm here to worship him. I'm here to give him one, at least one day a week, but he wants more than that, friends. But at least one day a week, giving him my time, my honor, my praise, my thanks. Acknowledge him as the one I am now following. That's what happened. And there's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing him. Which look are you this morning? I really feel a compulsion. I really feel a compulsion this morning because we don't normally do this. But friends, God has been working so powerfully this morning. If you want Jesus, I want you to come and join me. Come and join me. Because he's done this for you. This whole service is actually not about us. It's been fabulous. I enjoyed it. Amen? But it's not about us. It's not about songs and how well we've sung them and all that. It is about him. It's about him. It's about you. And I was challenged as a teenager. If you want Jesus, come. And so I'm going to stand here. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And if it's you this morning, just come. We sing a song. Oh, come to the altar. Don't know if you can find that on the words. Forgiveness. The precious blood. Jesus Christ. Here's the altar. Imagine this is the altar. Jesus is here. Come and join me. Come and join me. Be bold. Take courage. Come and join me now, here at the front. Shall we stand? Singing again. Oh, come to the altar. As we sing, you want Jesus? Then come. Demonstrate it, not to us, but to him. Blood of Jesus Christ. If you've fallen down, come, let him pick you up. Because I'd love to just pray with you right now in Jesus' name. If as a believer, you know you're not where you should be, you have fallen down and you've not yet stood back up, come. Come this morning. Come to the altar. It's right here. It's that step of faith to say, here I am, Lord. Come forward. I believe there's more. Come forward. Come forward, join us. Oh, come to the altar. Was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. Just keep singing that verse. I'm just going to be praying. But if there's others, come and join us.
Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him. For he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. Oh, come to the altar. Brought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come.
So Father, we thank you this morning for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that you came, you saw, you delivered, you conquered. Death itself could not even hold you. But more than that, you conquered not only death, you conquered sin, you conquered hell, you conquered Satan. There's nothing that can hold us back from the love of God. And so, Lord, this morning we give you our full thanks, our full praise. And Lord, I pray that you'll send us out from this place. I pray for divine appointments, that the truth of what we've heard this morning, the truth of what we've experienced in your presence, we will be able to share it, Lord God. Whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be work colleagues. Lord, we pray, grant those divine appointments. Send people across our path. We will be faithful in sharing what we know about you. You are worthy of being shared with others. So we give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, and what I forgot at the beginning, I'll say now at the end. I say he's risen, and you say?
He is risen indeed.
Well, you got to shout it. Are you ready?
He's risen!
Not bad. Not bad. But a bit louder. He's risen!
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Give someone a high five. There's refreshments and stuff. Please, you don't have to rush away.